We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Indiana Pacers.
Reggie from the wing. Yeah! To the big fella, fake shoots and hits! He hits!
10 seconds to play. 7. Here's a 3 by Oladipo.
Oh, man. He hit it! Victor Oladipo from 3-point range!
9, 18.7 seconds left.
Miller for 3, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray and a steal. Miller retreats to the 3-point line.
Welcome to another edition of Setting the Pace. I am one of your hosts, Tyler Smith, and joining me on the show today is the president of the Jermaine O'Neal Fan Club, Mike Facci. Facci, how are you feeling today?
I'm doing pretty good. Sounds kind of weird to say we're a quarter of the way through the season, and while it's unfortunate that we can't play the Jazz every night, I'll take 225 point at and above whoopings in a week.
Yeah, that was a good couple games, especially against Utah. Yeah, 20 games in, a quarter of the way through. We are recording this on Tuesday night before the Pacers play in Phoenix. And here in a little bit, we're going to give our grades for the team so far, talk about what's next. But first of all, I thought it'd be a little fun, a fun segment here, to talk about the Mount Rushmore of Indiana Pacers. I posed this question on Twitter today, got a lot of great responses. And so, Facci, I'm going to ask you, if you were making a Mount Rushmore of Indiana Pacers, your personal favorites, we're not talking about the best players, your 4 personal favorite players, who would you pick and why? I'm going to assume that Jermaine O'Neal's on there.
There is a high probability that Jermaine O'Neal cracked the list. But just to start with an honorable mention, you can't forget your history. While I never got to actually see him play live or, you know, wasn't even born at the time, I threw in Mel Daniels as an honorable mention. You can't forget about the ABA championship days and just how much of a monster he was. I mean, 2 MVPs, averaged nearly 20 and 16 a game during his time with the Pacers. But kicking it off to my actual Mount Rushmore, you got to start with Mr. Loyalty himself, the 3-point assassin, Reggie Miller. I mean, anyone who's a Pacer fan, in my mind, I feel like it started with Reggie Miller. And what I found that was just so crazy is the most 3-pointers that he ever attempted in a season was 5 point per game. I meant was 5.6 a game. That would currently rank outside the top 45. There's guys like Langston Galloway shooting more threes. So just imagine what Reggie Miller would be doing now. So, I mean, when you retire as the 12th all-time leading scorer in the NBA and the all-time 3-point shooter, you know, what Reggie did in the past can never be overlooked. What do you think of Reggie Miller on there?
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be on the list. And, you know, another thing I find interesting, I remember watching him a lot. He had a lot of long twos. You know, he had that long stride with that right foot. He would end up making a lot of shots from long twos. So I want to see if he was just a little bit behind that line, how many threes he actually would end up with.
It's crazy because it's just such a shame how Steph is just going to blow out Reggie's three-point mark. I know Ray Allen passed it, but it just almost seems like what Reggie did in 18 years was just so ahead of anyone before him. But transitioning over to my next guy, this was just a fan favorite of mine. I don't know how many people's lists he'll crack, but Danny Granger. Yeah. I mean, the man shouldered the load during a very dark stretch of Pacer basketball. You know, following the departures of guys like Reggie Miller, Jermaine O'Neal, Ron Artest, Danny Granger was the guy that we looked to night after night. And, you know, while he it was almost, you know, maybe just a five-year stretch of really being one of the more dominant scorers, averaging over 20 points per game, just one all-star game. But never forget how he made me feel during those times. And just to touch one last thing on Danny Granger, it still saddens me when we traded him to the tanking 76ers for an Evan Turner. I don't know if I'm over that one yet.
Man, what could have been if Danny was healthy for one more season? What could have been for that team?
Just such a shame how he was on those teams that just were so poor. And finally, when we get really good, there really wasn't anything left.
Yeah.
Moving over to my next guy. I mean, whether you love him or you hate him, you got to remember how damn good he was as a Pacer, and that's Paul George.
Yep.
And tell me if I'm wrong. In my mind, personal opinion, I think he's the most talented player the Pacers have ever had.
Yeah, he's got to be up there. I mean, two-way player. I'll admit, he would have been on my list if we did this list just a couple years ago, but I can't put him on there anymore. But I don't blame anybody for still having them on their list because, I mean, for a long time, he was the guy.
He really was. He really had you thinking, we can win a championship here in Indiana. And it was a guy that, you know, having drafted him 10th overall and seeing him just not really be able to get off the bench when Jim O'Brien was the coach to then Vogel taking over and then just Paul George just blossoming. I mean, another guy that I mentioned as a most improved player of the year. I mean, man, just sure, the ending was very rough. But, hey, look what he brought us in the end with Oladipo and Sabonis.
Yeah, and one more note on Paul George for me. If I was, as I was thinking about my list, PG-24 probably would have made my Mount Rushmore. Something changed with PG-13. Something changed with PG-13 a little bit.
And I completely agree. PG-13 was looking past Indiana. PG-24 looked like he was just real proud and happy to be there.
Yep.
And for my last pick, if you could insert, I will have to insert a drum roll after this. that would have to be Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah.
There's no way I could leave him off this list. He is, while Reggie Miller was Mr. Pacer, Jermaine O'Neal was the guy that I was just, you know, just head over heels in love with at the time. I mean, before there was parties and chicks, there was Jermaine O'Neal and those six All-Star games for me. I mean, it can't be overlooked that, hey, one year he did finish third in MVP voting,
yep.
2003, 2004. I was thinking that this is the guy who he's going to get it done. And I mean, obviously, if the malice at the palace doesn't happen,
yeah,
Pacers were projected to win it all. Who knows?
Speaking of what could have been, yeah. So I think if Danny was healthy one more year, or if the malice in the palace didn't happen that one year, we could be looking at having two rings on our fingers right now.
Oh man, I know. And to just kind of walk out with just seeing these guys that we loved all being and how it all ended. You know, you trade Granger to the Sixers. You shipped Jermaine O'Neal to Canada to go over and play for the Raptors. And then Paul George, at least that trade worked out. But in the end, I mean, man, those were my personal favorites.
Yeah.
And because that was what the criteria was for this Mount Rushmore. But Tyler, I'm anxious to hear yours.
Yeah, well, we got a couple similar ones there. Of course, Reggie's got to be number one. Out of all the fan responses that we got, I do think there was one or possibly two fans that did not include Reggie, so I don't know, check their pulse or something. I'm not sure what's up with that, but we got a lot of responses. Reggie, a lot of people said obviously Reggie number one. I would also put Jermaine O'Neal on there. I know that part of this is kind of, you know, when you grew up and, you know, when you fell in love with the team, and that's, you know, the different responses that we got with different guys from different eras. But I played a little bit in college and tried to model my game after Jermaine. I mean, I love watching him play. Even had the headband on to try to imitate J.O.
I love
so,
it.
Yeah. So he's on the list. For me, and a lot of fans agree that Victor Oladipo has already joined my list, which is crazy. He's only played a little over a season. And I'm usually not somebody that overreacts to the moment, but for me, you got to think, you know, as an IU fan as well, you know, I already had that connection to Oladipo, what he did last year, and, you know, not just the player, but the person that he is. He's an easy guy to root for. He saved the day, you know, from the Paul George drama.
Yes, he did.
So, again, you know, I would have had Paul if it was a few years ago, but I got to go with Vic already on there. And here's where it gets really tricky for me, because I've been a fan for a long time, and, you know, the heydays of the Reggie years as well as today. So I was like, do I pick an older player? Do I try to decide between guys like Rick Smits, Danny Granger, Mark Jackson, Dale Davis? For me, David West is even honorable mention. You know, he was huge. The blue-collar gold swagger days, you know, he did a lot for that team.
He was so underrated for us. I mean, yeah. When he chose us, coming when he was leaving the Hornets, I mean, it was a big deal.
Yep.
We were getting a guy who had already made the All-Star team before. Sure, he was coming off an ACL tear, but, man, he really just seemed like he had that locker room under wraps. Just he was the guy who you knew he was going to have everybody in tip-top shape, ready to rock. Yep. And I think that he changed the culture for a while.
Absolutely. So while he's honorable mention, I decided, I weighed all the options, I really thought about it, and like you, I also put Danny Granger on my list. I miss Michael Grady, by the way. Shout out Michael Grady.
Oh, yeah.
Granger is on my list. I remember when he had just received an extension, and it was a blowout, and he's diving on the floor, knocks his front two teeth out. I was like, yes.
It's the Celtics. I remember that.
Indiana basketball right there. I remember him having one of the best seasons ever by a Pacer. The year, I think he averaged like, what, 26 or something. I don't know. It was ridiculous, his offensive numbers. Him not backing down to the Miami Heat all those years. Remember when he didn't back down to Kevin Love and they had a little Twitter war going on? That was fun as well.
I loved how he would always stand up to LeBron. I mean, that was someone that he was not afraid to go face-to-face with in those conference finals. Even though it wasn't the same, you know, the same Danny Granger from years past.
Yep.
When we met him back-to-back from the semifinals to the conference finals before he left, he was not afraid of LeBron.
Yep. So that's my four. And now I want to share the fan responses. And this was pretty interesting. We had a lot of guys from past and present Pacers that were pretty close in the voting. And some fans may be a little surprised by this, but coming in at number six was Paul George. So he still is getting a lot of love, which, you know, it's good to see. There's still a lot of people that recognize, you know, what he did here. So he was at six. George McGinnis actually came in at number five. A lot of guys were right below those two. You had, let's see, I'm looking at my list here. You had Brown and Daniels right behind. You have actually Lance Stevenson got a lot of votes.
Definite fan favorite.
So, yeah, he's actually, I think, cracked the top 10. You got Dale Davis around 11. Let's see. Slick got some votes in there. Jeff Foster ended up with, like, six votes, but one guy said that he should get all four, and there's no other votes. So, you know, probably the biggest shocker to me from fans, there were more people that voted for Steven Jackson than Mark Jackson.
Really?
I was like, what really? Is going on with that vote? That was the most surprising one to me. But the top four for the fans, and I promise I did not rig this in any way, but it's the exact same four that I chose. So it had Granger coming in at number four, Victor Oladipo with the third most votes, Jermaine O'Neal with the second most votes, which I was happy to see because some fans didn't realize what he did for us, you know, after the brawl and stuff. But, yeah, so that's good. He had the second most votes. And then far and away, Reggie had twice the amount of votes as second place O'Neal had, which you can understand.
As he should.
Yep.
As he should. Hey, I got to say, sounds like the Pacer fans have some great taste. I couldn't agree more with all of those. And obviously, you couldn't agree more either.
Yeah.
You got the same list.
Yeah, and let's see. I couldn't tell some of them if they were jokes or not. Now, if they had like all four that were jokes, you could tell it was a joke. But sometimes they would throw in one in there that's like, oh, really? Like Jamal Tinsley had a vote.
I saw Sarunas Jasikevičius.
Yeah.
You know.
Lou Amundsen had one.
Oh, my God.
Psycho T had one. And
wow.
Let's see. Chuck Person had three. Ron Artest even had six. So, that was interesting. Jalen Rose only had a couple. Thought he'd have a few more. Team that went to the finals. But, yeah, good stuff. A lot of fun to see fan reaction. We thank you all for responding to that. We'll have more questions like that on the show in the near future. So thanks for playing along. 20 games in, Pacers sit at 12-8. The cool thing is they are 6-4 at home and 6-4 on the road. Good news, they've battled a lot of key injuries. The not-so-good news is I looked this up and I saw that I believe the Pacers are 28th in the NBA in strength of schedule. So now that's hard because obviously when you're winning more games than you're losing, that affects your opponent's winning percentage as well. But I think the injuries kind of balances that out, and 12-8 is a pretty good start. But Fauci, we'll talk about what we need to improve on in a minute. But first of all, let's talk about some positives. What have you liked from this team so far through 20 games?
I liked how in a time where it really looks like no one's playing defense, we're second in the league in opponent's points per game. I think that's real positive to see. Only the Memphis Grizzlies, who that's kind of always been their thing, they're leading the NBA. Averaging, they're giving up just over 100 points per game. Grizzlies are. We're about 102 points per game. So I definitely like that. The blossoming of Sabonis has been very positive. I really feel like it's someone who continues to get better. As of about 2 days ago, he was leading the NBA in field goal percentage. So love to see that. Love to see the last few games of Aaron Holiday, but we'll touch on that a little bit later. And just things like in a time where we're not necessarily shooting the three-point ball more, we're still shooting it at a very high clip in terms of accuracy.
Yeah.
So loved seeing that. I think that while fans are always ready to overreact, 12-8, if you average that out in terms of what we finish at after 82 games, we're looking at 50 wins.
Yep.
So it shows that last year was not a fluke. And for now, I think we're in just a fine position, especially being 2-2 without Oladipo.
Yeah, and for me, definitely more equipped to handle the injuries, a lot of depth. Love what I'm seeing from Aaron Holiday. I agree, Sabonis just gets more beastly by the day. He's a stud. And, this team, they just refuse to lose three straight games. They haven't lost three straight since the beginning of January of last season. So they have their clunkers once in a while, like every team does, but, man, they regroup quickly. And so I think part of that is the leadership, the coaching, and you can say, there's plenty of negatives you could say with the coaching staff, but one of the positives is they get them back on the right track quickly. And if you're going to be a team that wants a high seed, then that's got to happen, and so far it has. So that's being able to rebound is huge in that way. What do you think this team needs to work on or improve on moving forward?
Just a couple things that just jump off the bat. I mean, I've preached it since the very beginning. The free throw percentage is just disgusting at times. I mean, this team is bottom three in the league in three-point attempts and free throw attempts. We're bottom five in rebounding. I mean, come on, guys. We got to find a way to if we can rebound more, I think we can get to the line more. And as a result, if you can continue to work on free throws, we'll score more points. I mean, right now that the Pacers we're in a solid, as I mentioned before, they're shooting the three ball at a real high percentage, also top five in field goal percentage. So if we can find a way to get a couple more opportunities, whether it's on the offensive side of things, offensive rebounding, I think it's going to pay off. And also, another thing that I'm not really hearing anything talked about too much is Pacers are they're top five in steals. I believe they're actually top three. So I know that's always been Oladipo's thing, leading the NBA in steals last year, but the team is still playing defense in a time where really no one else is.
Yep.
And what I meant to give a shout out before, we got to give a shout out to Bogdanović. The man is balling right now.
Bojan.
Exactly. I loved hearing that from Oladipo. I mean, he's shooting the ball at just such a great percentage. I believe it's close to 55%. Maybe it's 54% overall, but about 52% from three.
Yep.
I mean, that's everything you want to see. It kind of makes you question if now would they look to bring him back next year if it could be a team-friendly deal.
Yeah, now it's kind of like, last year it was like, I don't know if we should get him a 2-year deal. And now it's like, I kind of wish it was a 3-year deal. I wish we had him kind of locked up there. But
exactly.
That'll be interesting to see. For me, you mentioned the three-point shooting. We're 28th in three-point attempts, so I still want to see that number grow quite a bit. You know what's interesting is Miles Turner is like the opposite of the Pacers offense, where, you know, he's shooting a high, well, not really opposite as far as two-pointers, but the fact that his three-point percentage is low and the Pacers is high. But, you know, just imagine if Miles Turner starts to get going from three, like I believe he can.
And Darren Collison, he's a guy who his three-point percentage is way down from last year.
Yep. And for me also, I'm looking at three different guys, and I don't know, they deserve some of the blame and then some of the blame on the coaches, but I just want to see them used more to their strengths. And I'm mainly looking at Miles Turner, Doug McDermott, Tyreke Evans. I still think Turner needs a higher usage rate. Tweeted this yesterday, but the last eight games that Turner has taken 10 or more shots, the Pacers are 7-1. So with him getting involved, I also mentioned last week that Doug McDermott, when he plays, you know, 13 or more minutes, they have like a, I think they're like 11-3 in those games, and that means he's getting more involved. So using him more, like in the Utah game, 21 points. Tyreke Evans, when he's involved, you know, the Pacers win. It's that simple. When those guys are involved and play well, so McMillan needs to find ways to get all three guys consistent, or at least two, you know, two of the three per night would be huge for the Pacers. But what do you think in terms of, if you were to give the team an overall grade after the first 20 games, what would you give?
I'd give them a B+. I think that, you know, coming into the year, I believe on our first podcast, I projected this team could win 52 games. That's kind of what I saw, that they're, not to say they're ceiling, but I thought that would be an A+ season. We're right around 50 games. We're on pace for that. So I think all is well. As you mentioned, there are a couple little, we don't need to make a trade right now. There's a couple guys that we just need to get more out of that are on the roster. Yeah. You know, as you mentioned, random, I know in terms of if Doug McDermott's logged 18 minutes, the Pacers are 7-2. So there's certain things, like with Oladipo out, he's shot 17 of 28 over the last four games. I mean, he was phenomenal against the Jazz. So I think that's someone who I believe that he's going to get better. I want Tyreke Evans to get better. I'm starting to get a little bit worried. He's kind of having, honestly, I know he's only playing 20 minutes. His minutes are definitely down. He's having pretty much the worst season he's had in his career right now. Yeah. In terms of, from a sheer number standpoint, his field goal percentage, just everything is down. Sure, that obviously comes with less minutes. I'd give him a B+ because I don't want to be the guy who's harping on the free throws too much, but I knew it would cost us. If we don't fix it soon, it's going to be a team that we're giving up games. Yep. We gave up a game to the Rockets earlier this year. We missed 10 free throws, lost by 4. So tweak a couple little things, and we're going to be right on pace for the 52 wins that I thought we're capable of.
Yeah, just imagine what that does.
What would you give the Pacers?
I'm right there with you, the B+. But I was just thinking, imagine if you make those free throws and win that one game, you know, how different is 13-7 to 12-8? Or you do it twice, 14-6. I mean, it's huge. But I think the Pacers were like 10th or 11th last year in free throws. So, you know, they got guys that can make them. They just got to start doing it. But I agree with the B+ rating. I think there's more in the tank for this team. You hope with a guy like Evans that eventually it clicks, and when it does, he can just kind of take off from there, because he's trying to get paid too. He's going to be a free agent, so he needs to pick up his game. Some people like there's a couple different ways you can evaluate a team, and one of them that's kind of interesting and fun is if you subtract home losses from road wins. And like I said, Pacers are 6-4, both home and away. So with the 4 home losses and the 6 road wins, they would be a +2 in that regard. Toronto is a +6. Philly is a +3. And Pacers and the Bucks are both +2. So even though the Bucks have a better record, they've played 12 games at home. They're 10-2 at home. So by that standard, the Pacers are right there with Milwaukee. So just kind of a fun thing to think of. But where do you – I know this is kind of hard to do, but where do you see them finishing? You know, we got 3/4 of the season left, but what kind of seed are you thinking right now with how the East looks?
I think right now the Pacers sitting at the 4 seed right now. Detroit was in it yesterday. I don't believe in Detroit being above us on the year. Ever since the Sixers got Jimmy Butler, it seems like they could really be poised for a run. So if we can get that 4th seed, have home court, I would consider that a success. You're almost waiting for the Celtics to kind of pick it up. Yeah. And the Bucks got off to a scorching start. But I truly believe that the Pacers could finish at that four seed. Like I said, expect Boston to make a run. But, hey, why can't we get the fourth?
Yeah, I'm right there. I think four or five seed. I have this feeling, and I know a lot of people have it as well, that even with Jimmy Butler in Philly, it just feels like this Pacers team is going to win a playoff series this year. I don't know. I think they're going to come together and keep in mind, whoever they would play, that would still be a huge win, whether it's Philadelphia, Milwaukee, or whoever it is. Could be wrong, but I could see them in that 4-5 spot and then winning a series and taking the next series pretty deep. But keep an eye on the injuries. You know, if Milwaukee loses somebody for any amount of time or Philadelphia, I still think Joel Embiid's health is massive. You know, if he goes down at all, Indy can beat them. And then who knows? Boston's going to figure it out at some point, and they're going to be a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs. But if they don't figure it out, you know, by the All-Star break, then that's a team that there's a possibility that they would stay behind the Pacers standings. More than likely, they're going to be better, but we'll see what happens. But got a few minutes left here. What else is on your mind with this team? How do you see them doing on this the rest of this trip, or any hot takes that you want to share?
Well, over the next seven games, the Lakers are the only team we play above 500. Now, the Kings are at 10-10 right now. We're going to play them twice. So there is opportunity over here to kind of go a little bit on a run. I think that it's very important that we do not rush Oladipo back.
Yep.
I know it's just a small sample size being 2-2 without him. Let's let him sit, maybe even the rest of the road trip. I just think that I'm not worried about the Suns. I think that we can take them out. The Lakers, sure, it'll be a tough game. They're starting to really get it going. But I'm not worried about the Kings. I don't believe in them yet. The Bulls, come on. Orlando and so on down the list, that there's a lot of teams that there's opportunity right now for us to go on a run. I just think that at this moment, you know, I don't have necessarily a hot take other than, you know, we're going to get this going. And I mean, come on. How awesome has it been the last few games to just see Aaron Holiday just getting it going? It makes you really think to yourself that, hey, we got something here.
Yeah.
And if they were going to make a move and they just kind of wanted to do a little bit of a dump, does kind of seem like Collison could be more reasonable to part with now with Holiday stepping up.
Yep, and it's a good problem to have. It's good to have those options. You know, I'm all about Aaron Holiday mania. He's averaging 13 points on 51% shooting over the last four. And the thing I love about the kid is the kid is not afraid. And that's such a key, you know, to have that bulldog mentality. You know, he's still going to have his rookie moments, but it's a luxury for the Pacers to have a good support system for him. There's, you know, good veteran leadership at point guard, obviously a good locker room, and it's going to be a fun story to follow, you know. And if he's got any chance of being a long-term starter or even the main backup, maybe as soon as, you know, this season or next, this is going to be a pretty cool thing to watch. And when Oladipo does get back, Pacers got to find a way to get him back in that rotation somehow, some way. Got to figure it out.
You really have to. I mean, five straight games in double figures. He had 9 points in that fourth quarter game against the Hawks that I truly believe without him getting it going, I don't think we win that game. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, right now he's like the Utah killer, you know?
Yeah.
He shot 13 of 18 in the two games, and it was just awesome to see. And when you talked about the support system, I mean, how amazing was it to see the Pacers bench getting so pumped up when he was playing great? I mean, when you hear things about what's going on in Washington, seeing that, you know, with the team coming apart at the seams and, you know, it seems like they don't want to play together. This Pacers team, they love playing with each other.
Yeah, and fans should not take that for granted either. I mean, this is I can remember just a couple short years ago how different that locker room was to what it is now, and obviously the sideline as well. So good things coming. Even if the Pacers go 2-2 on this trip, winning the first one, you know, you'd love to get a little greedy and go 3-1. Even if they go 2-2, that would put them at 13-10 with a whole bunch of winnable home games after that, and then hopefully Oladipo back in the near future. So no matter what happens on this trip, I think good things are ahead. So, yeah, that's all the time we got for this week's show. Follow us on Twitter, Setting the Pace 3. You can check us out on iTunes. Subscribe to our weekly podcast. Always a pleasure.
Fauci. See you next time.
Have a great one, Tyler.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.